you go?
Oh, I went to go see Jabu, and then so we were hanging out, and then his friends came over, and so we were like, oh, let's go buy some more drinks or whatever. So we went to Bon Marché, and then we were in Bon Marché for a minute, and someone stole his phone. Yeah, man. So then that was like the rest of our day, right? It's like we went home, checked if his phone was there. It wasn't there. So we went back to Bon Marché, and then they had to start checking the cameras and other shit. Yeah, it was just long. So by the time we got back to his, it was like past 6 even, and I was like, you know what? I'm having a good day. I'm not going home. So I just didn't go home. So by the time I was like, all right, let me go home, it was like past 9, and I was like, fuck, it's really past
Didn't
9.
your mother come for you?
Dude, she literally hasn't said fuck all. She didn't even text me to say, like, where are you? So I feel
She's
like she
tired.
just, she's like, she's legit like, fuck you and everything that you do. I don't even care anymore. And you know what? I understand. Like, I am a problem child. I understand.
Dude,
we're good kids. Parents could have worse, honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, I
You
feel like,
can
you know,
be
9 p.m.,
what
like, I mean, like, we're fighting over 9 p.m. Come on.
We moved from 16 hours to 9 p.m. Lumba.
No, you're right. Honestly, like, I was literally like, I was getting in the house, like, yay, it's about to be over. But it wasn't over. So here I am eating my fish in my room.
Hey, is she awake though?
Yeah, she's awake. She's on the phone downstairs. So when I went to go get my dinner, she was sitting there and I just waved because she was on the phone. I was like, hello. And she waved back. So I think we're cool. I think it's fine.
I think she's gotten to a point where she wants to believe you're out looking for a job. You know how it is? They're like, no, I'm going to look
Yeah.
for work. How do you go outside to look for work in this day and age?
With no envelope of CVs
Look who's back again. Get all
your
the
hand.
I thought we're not required to do this.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, this is
We are.
the podcast
I'm most sorry, I already said that, but since no one is saying anything, say it again.
I'm Nachi.
And I'm Yoti.
I feel like you guys have had enough time to think about this, so one of y'all, let's hear it.
Well, our toxic traits. I think we should start with, can I say, defining what exactly we mean by toxic traits? Okay, to me, I think a toxic trait is something that you know, it's, I don't even know how to describe one, to be honest. It's something that makes you, like, you know, people are like, oh, why do I have to hang out with this girl? Or, like, you know, it's toxic to other people. I don't know how else to describe
Can I go next? I
Mm-hmm.
think a toxic trait is like a character flaw, I guess, that is detrimental to either a goal you're trying to, what's the word, pursue, achieve, anyway, to a goal or to your character definition, or just somehow, you know, detrimental to some aspect of your being.
I feel like in whichever way you guys choose to talk about your toxic traits and however honest you guys want to be, I think just talk about it in the way that you understand or the way you feel like it's appropriate for the discussion. I mean, not to sound serious or anything like that, because it's not even that deep. But yeah, just say anything you wanna say. Anything you wanna say, wanna say, wanna say,
Okay,
wanna say
stop.
anything.
Anyway.
was
also here singing my own song.
can I say, because I thought about it and I think my most toxic trait is actually pertaining to like the podcast in general is that I tend to be, not the podcast, but it's one of the reasons why I've been so like not ready to do this podcast. And
tell us.
Let me just expose Mbuyoti. Mbuyoti has been saying Musambu is the most toxic one of the group. I don't know. She's ready. She's ready to come for you.
I don't think I'm the most toxic one of the group. I think I was toxic
what
this time. Let me. Can I have my moment?
Tell us, Mandy. Tell us. I was
toxic this time around because, like, I tend to shut down when I go through like major life moments. You know what I mean? I know people keep saying, "Oh, just carry on and whatever." Carry, like, it's a normal thing. But for me, it takes like a while for me to actually. Like, peace. It's not that anything significant has been happening since, you know, I've had my exams, whatever you guys know. But it takes me like a while to recover from that. Whenever I have like a bad day or a bad couple of days or just a rough period, it takes me like, I literally have to shut down and like, I won't communicate with anyone. I'll just be rude. I'll be like so unconcerned and non-committal to everything. So I think that's my most toxic trait at this current moment. Yeah, I'm done. You can attack me now.
I mean, I feel like it's good to recognize that because honestly, I believe that whatever it is that you're going through, no, you shouldn't have a right to come for someone or to treat someone a certain type of way just because of whatever it is you're enjoying in your life. You know those people that just walk into a room and they are mean, you know, they say all kinds of things to anyone and we're supposed to excuse it because I don't know. Their child has been bottom of their class for the past 3 years. Like, how is that everyone else's problem? That your child can't write the exams, you know?
Can I ask, like, do you think I don't think I was coming for any of you guys though.
Look, I'm not talking about one specific moment. I'm saying in general, I'm just of the belief that whatever it is you're going through, you've got no right to now put that on someone else. Whatever it is I'm going through, it's no excuse for me to treat someone else badly. Like, I might do it without even realizing, but I need to learn as well to control that and really to cautiously think like, okay, whatever it is that I'm going through, it's got nothing to do with this other person. So they don't have a right. You know, sometimes people are like, no, you don't know the day that this person has had. You don't know, maybe they're being beaten. No, it doesn't matter.
Wait, can I just ask a question on this? Because I'm getting like confused now. Okay, picture this. You've had a hard day, right? Or you've had like a hard couple of like a work week, for example. It's just been terrible. And you're trying to stay in your lane and mind your own business. You know, if somebody comes for you at that particular moment, your response is not going to be as usual. You understand? Like, it's not going to be business as usual. You just be like cheery and brushing things off. It will be different. You understand? Like, I feel like there's that whole, like, if you're seeking someone to just go off on, that's different. But then if you respond when you are agitated, when you're sensitized to bullshit, it's different. You get me? Because now your tolerance levels are lower. Do you understand?
I think responding as usual is different from just treating someone the way you shouldn't treat them. Regardless, it doesn't matter. I don't think, anyway, it's my opinion, you know, I don't think there's ever a reason that someone can ever be right for treating someone a certain type of way or talking to someone a certain type of way.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll say on the question you just asked, Musambu, that for me, the way I see it is that, like, things happen to everyone, you know. Life is trash. Like, it just is, you know, and we all choose how we react to things. So when people are like, you know, I've had a bad week, so I'm not really like, I'm not in the mood to deal with people's nonsense today, you know what I mean? I get that, but also that's still a choice that you're making, like, regardless of what's happened. Like, that's still a conscious choice that you're making, that today I have a short leash, so I'm not going to deal with people's nonsense. So I think the whole thing about, like, just like, I don't know, growing up or whatever, like, whatever you want to call it, is a matter of realizing that, like, every day you get to choose, you know, as hard it's and some days it's harder than others, but every day you get to choose how you walk into this world and the person that you present to people, you know, and that person and you get to make that choice regardless of what has happened to you, you know, because things happen to you every day, but people will still be people every day regardless of what's happened to you. So you get to make that choice. Am I going to be more upset today because, you know, my rent was late, no, or someone didn't pay me the money that they owed me, or my boss was a dick, or whatever, you know? Or am I still gonna like treat people with the same kind of respect I treated them with yesterday? You know, am I still gonna have the same levels of tolerance that I did yesterday? And yeah, so I just think it's a matter of choices. It's a matter of choices that we all get to make. And as you go through life, as you get older, as you deal with more things, you find that level of tolerance that you never go below, right? Because you find that person that you are regardless of what life throws at you. But it's a matter of finding it. It's a matter of making the conscious choice to find that person, is what I would say.
Thanks, Lumba.
Can I just say one more thing and then we'll move on to the next toxic trait that somebody else has? I feel like... I know this kind of sounds like I'm being on the defensive here, but I feel like it's better for everybody if you know, like if I know the way I respond to situations, right? I feel it's ultimately better for everyone if I withdraw rather than go out in my current state. Do you understand? I feel it's better for me to interact later when I'm healed and I've processed things and I've come to terms with certain things, rather than me going with all these conflicting emotions, because then I'll just be like, you know, unpredictable. So I feel it's sort of a toxic trait and it's sort of not, because because I feel like it gives me the time to, like, you know, like I said, not explode on people, which I don't do, by the way.
I'm not understanding how withdrawing should also mean that you don't treat other people with respect, because that's the key thing. You can withdraw, you can choose to, you know, you said to you deal with your situation and avoid people or whatever it is, but you can do those things without treating someone else disrespectfully.
Yeah, but
I don't understand how.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm saying I don't think that I do. I really don't think that I do. Like the best, I can't think of an occasion where I've gone off on someone because I'm going through something. I don't. Like generally I'm always secluded. So especially when I'm like going through things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I nominate Lumba to share hers.
Why do you nominate me to share mine?
Oh, I can share Lumba's toxic trait in my opinion also. After she shares hers. She says what she thinks hers.
Now, I think you should go first. Tell me what you think my toxic trait is.
Okay. Yes. Your toxic trait is your on the fenceness about certain things. Like
on the fenceness?
On the fence. Like
Lumba,
yes, like I feel like there's certain situations where somebody wants you, they're clear, okay, I'm not going to, that sounds weird when I say it, they're trying to get a certain response out of you and then you're on the fence. That sounds weird when I say that, but there's situations where that's called for, okay, and then Lumba is like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're like, this, I'm not the second thing, I think it kind of adds to that, but I feel you have a very, like, an armor around you, that you don't allow, it's sort of defensive because you don't allow, like, negative things and negative people to get to you. But then it also, like, blocks the positive also. Like, if people are trying to show you love, if people are trying to show you that they care, or friendship, you tend to be, like, closed. You know what I mean? Like, you don't tend to share certain things, you know, like it's difficult to see that it's difficult for a person to help you or to even recognize that you need help in the first place, because you have this armor like all the time, all the time. So yeah, those are my things.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely agree. On the first one, though, I would say that, like, rather than calling it on the fenceness, I would say that, like, in most situations, I just try to be very diplomatic. Like, you know, I rather than like leaning this way or that way, I prefer to like kind of like relay the facts of a situation back to a person mm-hmm. and kind of like then like see what they then feel. You know what I mean? Because I never want to tell you what to do. I never want to be like, I believe that you should do A, because then I don't want you to come back and be like, Lumba. You said this shit, and then like some wild, you know what I mean? Something wild happened. Like, I don't want to be responsible for your bad decisions. So I'd rather just like, you know, like give you more information, you know, provide my insight on the situation, and then still leave you to be able to like see both sides of the situation and lay your head. And honestly, if you really pay attention to like when I'm on the fence, I will still be saying things leaning in a particular direction. But like, I'll never give you a solid decision one way or another, because you know we all get to live life the way we want to live life, in my opinion.
I actually wouldn't say that you're. Oh, sorry to interrupt. I wouldn't say that you're on the mm-hmm. fence type of person. But anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. But yeah, and then on the what was the second one?
Defense.
I have a defense. Yeah. I completely agree. I was actually saying this to my mom earlier this week, and I've said it like a few times in recent months, that like one of the things that like I appreciate about, I mean not appreciate, but that I understand about myself self is that I have very serious trust issues, which lie in like various situations. But all that has done is that it's made me very unwilling to accept anything from anyone. It's any kind of sense of the word. Like I just know, like my answer to anything and everything is absolutely not. And it's just, it's a very difficult place to get out of, because and honestly, people are always like, oh, you're so chill and you're so like, you know, you're so relaxed and shit. It's just because like, it's a defense mechanism. I'm just like, if I'm just chill, if I'm just living, if I'm just hanging out, if I'm not making too big a deal out of anything, then nothing can touch me. Nothing, absolutely nothing can touch me. And it's a very, honestly, like, I realize now growing up and shit, it's a very difficult place to be in, because it, like, things still touch me. It just means that I'm fully unequipped to deal with them when they do. So I'm making an active effort to detach myself from this idea of being unattached to anything. And on the point, there was a point that you made, Musa, a while ago about, I don't remember what it was, but anyway, it made me think about, I read this thing a few months ago, which really like zoned into me fixing my toxic traits. And it said that, like, it's okay to have things about you that are like, you know, it's okay to be damaged. It's okay to have things about you that are difficult. It's okay to be broken, but it's not okay to use those things as excuses for like bad behavior, or for being bad, like for being inconsiderate, or for just for, you know, for being a negative person. And like, once I sat in that, I was like, yeah, it's true. It's okay that like I have all these things about me that aren't great. And I recognize that, but I can't use that as a reason to then be like, you know, negative or unfair or uncaring towards other people. You know, I can't use that as a reason why I don't want to find love, or why I don't want to, you know what I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's not fair to me or to anyone else. So realizing that kind of helped me see that, like, kind of helped me, like, zone in on the fact that they were, in fact, toxic traits, not just things about me that existed. You know, they were things that I could, in fact, change if I made the conscious decision to change them. So yeah, I hope that all of the many things that I've said made sense.
Mm-hmm. Can I share mine?
Yeah.
Toxic traits. Initially, when we came up with this topic, I'm like, girls, I don't have a toxic trait. Like, come on, it's me. Anyway, after much...
She was literally like, what if I don't have any?
Anyway, deep down somewhere, I'm still convinced I don't have toxic traits. But anyway, people around me probably beg to differ. So for me, I think a major toxic trait is I struggle to feel emotion. And the reason, I would say I struggle to feel emotion. And the reason why I would say that is because can I say growing up or me reaching my 25 years, a lot of people tend to tell me that, no, you know, you're so chilled about situations, you know, you don't really let an environment or a situation affect you. And because I'm always being told this, I feel like
you have to live up to it.
I then tend to tell myself, like, okay, I have to live up to it. This situation shouldn't affect me, and etc. I'll give you an example of when I was writing my, anyway, when I failed one of my exams, and a certain friend of mine literally texted me to ask me, Yoti, how are you doing? Like, are you okay? And answering that, and like, I was thinking, like, you know, I actually don't have an answer to this. Like, am I okay? I was even doubting, like, am I okay? Am I not okay? Like, I looked deep within myself. I couldn't come to a conclusion. So I was telling her, like, look, me, you know what, I'm breathing, and yeah, I should be okay, but I'm not entirely sure. Which comes to my second toxic trait. I think I've got a very borderline, dangerous, it is what it is attitude. Like, yeah, back to the same situation. I'm like, you know what, the exam, like, it's gone by. It is what it is. But, like, some situations, no, it isn't what it is. You could, you know, get up and do something about it. So for me, I would say that's what my two toxic traits are. I don't know if any of you are beg to differ. If there are additions, subtractions, let me know.
That's really interesting. I thought you were going to talk about you forgetting stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mandy, sometimes your brain just doesn't want to.
I mean, okay, you know what?
I do forget.
That one's an interesting one, because I feel like someone could easily argue and say that sometimes it's good for you not to be affected by things or whatever. But as you were talking, I remembered the book, that book everyone talks about, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And there's a point in the book that talks about the importance of anxiety. Like, as you said, feeling something when something's happened. And he was saying how young people of today have become so afraid of anxiety, but anxiety is what made us the society we are today. Like, without human beings being afraid of lions coming to get them, they wouldn't have thought of coming up with good shelters, wouldn't have thought of fire. I'm not very good at explaining things. That's probably my first toxic trait, toxic to myself and to the people that listen to me, because I think I waste
a lot of time. And to the people that love you, because you will never tell a story.
I don't know how to explain things. I've thought about doing some sort of writing course, comprehension course. I don't know. If anyone has any suggestions, please. But yeah, because
just write more things down.
Can I start?
Oh wait, I wanted to say. Oh wait, can I say in relation to Mbuyati before we move on to Nachi? Yeah, I wanted to say that I completely agree about the you not really letting things phase you thing, and not like feeling emotions thing. And funnily enough, it reminds me of my friend Tino, the one who passed away, because she she used to go through, like, she went through a bunch of shit, like, before she ended up going to uni. But, like, whenever you meet her, she would just always have this great smile on her face and just be, like, you know, so chill. And you would never know. You'd never literally know that, like, there was fucked up shit happening behind the scenes. You know, you'd never know if bad. You'd never know anything. Like, unless she, like, actively made the effort to tell you, you could never, ever see it. And, like, that's honestly a vibe that I get off of you as well. Like, genuinely, like, unless you actively say, yo, this thing is happening, I would never, ever, ever be able to tell that, like, you're going through anything. And honestly, like, you know, people aren't mind readers. So sometimes it's, like, it's a good thing to show people that, like, yo, like, I'm anxious or, like, I'm stressed because I have to rewrite this exam or I have to, like, do this fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to, like, let people know that, like, that you're not in a good place if that's the situation. Going to feel things. Just, like, act like it's fine. Because sometimes it's just...
Yeah.
It's true. But yes, Nachi, please, tell us things.
Yeah. Well, before you guys...
No, we're supposed to be telling that.
I feel like some of you are going to use this opportunity to roast me. But before you roast me, which I'm ready for, I think one toxic trait has come to mind. I don't know if this is a toxic trait, and you guys can agree or disagree. I think I'm very unimpressed with a lot of things. And yeah. It's not a good thing. Yeah. It's not a good thing because I've found that I find it very difficult to enjoy a lot of things because it takes a lot to impress me. And I don't even know why I'm like this. I need to change. You know what? I'll get there one day. This is why I feel like it's necessary for you guys to tell me what you think my toxic traits are, because I'm going to go into a very deep philosophical talk and go in circles and say nothing at the end.
Right? That's why I was so surprised. I don't know if I should mention this, but anyway, that's why I was so surprised when you took a liking to a certain person, because I was like, Nachi, this person must be from the gods, you know what I mean?
That's what I thought too.
Like, he's not on any radar. We know he's not on any, like, scoring system. He's just, you know, because it's very, very difficult to get Nachi to actually say that something is all right.
Yeah, I'm not easily impressed by anything or anyone. Oh my gosh, it makes me sound bad. I'm bad. I need to change.
Okay, so I think, for me, my perception of what I think could be your toxic traits is that you like to be in control of things too much. Do you understand? Like, I don't, when I say too much, I mean,
like she has a type A.
Yes. Like, you always want, I don't want to say always, because again, that's an accusatory term, but you like to be in control to the point where, like, you don't really give people room to take charge of certain things. You know what I mean? I don't know if you agree, and I don't know how to explain this, but there's a certain, the Nachi input must be present and felt significantly. I don't know how to explain it. It's very difficult to explain. Because it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because again, your personality allows you to, like, you're one of the few people I know that is always reaching out to people and always, like, I feel like in most friendships that you have, you're the one that's actively, like, being, you know what I mean, like, being the active one in the friendship, which is a very, very, very good thing. Like, it's an amazing thing. I wish I could do that. But then there's also that side of, it doesn't allow much room for input from the other person.
That's actually a really good one. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't have any comments.
Do you have any more thoughts?
What I think your toxic trait is?
Mm-hmm.
I think your toxic trait, especially this is to yourself, is your
procrastination,
man. Like, you know, she'll be telling you in the morning, no, I've got A, B, C, and D to do. It's probably like 0-2 wherever she is. And then she's like, no, it's like she's panicking. Like, you know, I haven't done A, B, C, and D. And you're like, Nachi, you had the whole day. Why didn't you do A, B, C, and D? And then she'll come up, no, this happened, that happened. Sometimes she doesn't even come up with an excuse. She's just like, you know what,
it's a disease.
But it baffles me because I feel like at the end of the day, it seems like you always get stuff done. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know at what time. That's why I was telling my housemates that, you know, I feel like now she's got like 32 hours in a day because there's just no way. Like, she's always procrastinating, but she gets stuff
that's
done.
That's the thing.
Anyway, that's what I would say.
I feel like the fact that I end up getting things done is what harms me in the end, because I always get things done. I'm like, fine, I'll get it done anyways. And then I procrastinate, then I stress myself in the last minute. It's honestly, I'm really in a dead man's cycle.
It's a toxic cycle. Yeah, it's really very, very bad.
But Nachi, anyway, your accent doesn't change some. How many years have you been in the UK?
And you know, I actually want it to change. I actually need some, you know, I need to sound like I live in the UK, even slightly.
You can actually train yourself to speak more.
That's why I really like Love Island, because I can repeat after the people, learn all the different accents.
Watch Bollywood Wives, something like that.
Bollywood Wives?
on Netflix. Bollywood, yeah, there's some new show. I think it's newish anyway. I just discovered it. Some Bollywood wife thing. It's like, I feel like their friendships reflect us. Take time to watch one of the episodes and then you'll see what I'm talking about. And I love their friendship. You should watch it. Then you understand what I mean.
All right, Keel.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say I don't know if this applies to everybody, but I think one of my most toxic traits is comparing myself to people I've found exemplary, not exemplary, that I've been jealous of in my life. And I keep on them like a crazy person. Like, I'm always having to delete my Facebook search history because I'm so embarrassed that someone will find out I'm keeping tabs on someone that I really shouldn't be. And I feel so inadequate. Whenever I look at their pictures and things, I feel like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? And then I feel bad for looking at it. It's like a whole cycle, you know what I mean? So anyway, I don't know if this applies to anyone else, but I feel like that's probably one of the most dangerous ones in terms of self-esteem, you know? And just... like stealer of joy, you know? Like, it leaves you feeling horrible for days afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it apply to anyone else?
Personally, I do the exact opposite. I'm literally like, nope, no, no. I don't need to know what anybody's doing because that's just going to make me feel bad. Which in itself is also bad because then I'm always just like, you know, living in this false identity that everything is fine when everything is clearly not fine. So I think it's arriving at some kind of medium where, like, you can see that, like, you know, there's a certain thing that you're supposed to be achieving at a particular time, but also not dwelling on the fact that you haven't necessarily achieved everything that other people around your same level have achieved. You know what I mean?
I'm recently finding it really necessary to find people that I can get close to who may have achieved something that I want to achieve in the near future. They kind of remind me that it's actually not that far-fetched or it's not too far in the future. And it's really all about like planning, whatever it is that they did, to be honest. Like, those are things that you kind of find out when you get close to them. And I don't know where my point is going, but I think I was bouncing off what Musango was saying about keeping tabs on people and comparing yourself and it being a toxic thing. You can turn that into it being a good thing.
Horrible. I need to stop like living in my head so much and just like be, you know. I feel like I have the exact opposite problem that, not problem, but the toxic trait that Yoti says she has, where she's like apathetic to most things. I feel like I feel too much, like I'm an over. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I am overly empathetic and sympathetic to a point where, like, I can't even watch a cartoon in pain. I feel like I'm feeling the cartoon's pain and it's just a cartoon. I can't hear about someone else struggling. I feel like I'm the one who's struggling. And the reason why it's toxic is because I spend a lot of time trying to find a way to solve other people's problems. I guess this is where the control thing that Musang was talking about. But like, I'm just like, yo, if someone else is suffering, I feel like I'm the one who's suffering. I'm like, I don't know, I guess in principle it sounds good, but I've seen how it can be very detrimental. And, you know, even the Bible says before you're trying to remove a log from someone else's eye, like, focus on the log in your own eye first, you know?
So maybe we can take some time to talk about the ways that we've all tried to, or that we're all, I guess, currently trying to fix. Is it fix?
Yeah.
To amend? I don't know.
It feels like a therapy session.
Ala? But, like, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, we could take some time to talk about the ways that we try and fix our toxic traits, you know? Because it's all well and good to just be like, yeah, this is all the shit that's wrong with us. And yeah. Goodbye.
To be honest, I don't know how to fix the whole... I'm not, like, it takes a lot to impress me type of thing. I don't know what to do about it.
If you drop your expectations and standards, then don't have expectations. Not that you shouldn't have expected, not that you should accept shit, but basically, if you have low expectations to begin with, if you're going out somewhere and you're not like anticipating how good it's going to be, how good a certain like place of food is going to taste, you know, and you just let yourself experience it in the moment, it becomes, you know, like what it is rather than disappointing what you imagined it to be.
Yeah. I hear that, but I will say that as a person that has actively done that, and like that was an active change that I made in my life a very long time ago, I would say that it's very serious downsides. In that, like, honestly, now I go to a place where like I couldn't even master the energy to just expect someone to just do anything. Like, I was just like, nah.
Oh yeah, you accept mediocrity basically.
Exactly. I was just like, you know what? I was just like, you know what? Yeah, people are going to let me down. They just are. Like, it's just, you know, it's a given. Before I even like took the time, I didn't even give shit a chance anymore. So it can definitely be a slippery slope to not expect anything from the world. So keep some of them, you know, keep some of those expectations.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Me, because I don't, which is sad, don't really interact with people a lot. Like, I mean, I interact with people. I don't live on an island, but I don't interact with them on this like soul searching level. You know what I mean? Like this develop yourself level. I feel like the thing that works best for me is videos. Like I read, you know, predicaments. I watch a lot of TED videos related to whatever problems I'm going through. And it helps because, I don't know, it's different when you hear it from someone who's gone through it and they've managed to find a way out of it, you know. And I don't know. It helps me. So I read a lot and I watch a lot of videos and I meditate on things because I'm an overthinker. So I can't help but meditate on those things. And it helps.
I'm very big on meditating as well. And just like meditating on things I've done or things that I'm deciding to do. I do a lot of thinking and I go on Reddit, see what people on Reddit are saying, meditate, and then make a decision.
Yeah.
I'm fixing my forgetfulness. Wow, it's actually worrying, to be honest. At a point, I was just like, no, I can't be forgetting all of these things. But one thing that has helped me is writing out to-do lists. And not like keeping it on my phone, like typing it. No, I mean like getting an actual book and writing it down, or writing the things I need to do down, and then like ticking them off. Whenever I won't lie to you and say at the end of the day I take it off, because no, sometimes I'm busy and I'm tired, but like maybe the next day I'll, you know, open my book and tick stuff off. And also asking people to remind me, because, you know, no man is an island, so remind me of this, remind me of that, and you know, people around me are helpful.
Amen.
Also, eating onions apparently helps. I try to increase. Have I seen a difference? I'd say so. Like a 3% difference.
I think that's a placebo effect. I don't think it actually works. I think it works because you think it works. Butter.
It works.
Hey, as long as
my memory works,
man, you know. For me, I guess I'd say the thing that I do, because I feel like a lot of my toxic traits are very, like, I wouldn't necessarily say self-inflicted, but like, I guess self-inflicted. So essentially what I do now is like I make an active effort to do the opposite of the thing that I think I should do. So if I'm like, nah, you don't need to talk to anyone about this, I'm like, I'm going to call someone immediately and talk to them about this. Clearly I'm wrong. So that's like the and also when it comes to like, because sometimes I'll be like, I'll literally be looking at my WhatsApp, looking at it, and I'll have like these messages from people, and I just won't reply. Like, I'll be on the app, and I'll just like look at the messages, and maybe look at people's statuses, and then leave.
Same.
So sometimes I literally have to, sometimes I literally have to like force my fingers to click on the person's name and to respond to the message, because I'm like, there's literally no reason why I'm not responding to this message. So for me, it's just like making an active effort to realize that like a lot of the things I think are okay that I do are actually detrimental to both me and the people that I care about. So it's just a matter of like stopping, like just making, forcing myself to stop doing those things. And it's a day-to-day effort, you know. And also I write a lot of stuff down. So like if I'm feeling a lot of feelings, I'll write down, like, it's not necessarily a poem, but it will just be like a mess of words in my notes on my phone. And then I'll read it back and I'll be like, all right, that was some dumb shit. And then I can move on. So, those are all the steps that I'm taking for free. But hopefully one day I'll have healthcare and I can get a therapist, and hopefully that'll help too.
Mm.
So that's me.
I feel like now is a good time to say, first of all, shout out to all the people in my life, because I think I can be very... very, very slightly problematic, and yet I feel like I am one of the most loved people ever. Like, honestly, I have the best people in my life, and shout out to you guys, to everybody. I appreciate it. I just made this moment about me.
Nah, man.
That's true. Because Nachi said that, like, not what you said, the whole thing, but you saying that you just made this, whatever you said. I think that's also, like, a way to, like, stop your toxic traits. Like, you catch yourself in the act and you actually acknowledge it and you say out. It helps. It helps, because then you realize, okay, I'm doing this, and you know what I mean? Like, calling yourself out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I literally caught myself like in a spiral yesterday. Like, I was sitting and I started zoning out and thinking like very deeply about something that was very trivial, and like almost starting to panic, and then I was like, yo, wake the fuck up. And I just stopped and I was like, ah. I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, what were you doing just now, my nigga? What were you doing? And I stopped. So it's true, you have to catch yourself in that shit and stop. If you can't,
you can if you practice. You can if you do it enough times. Like, if you remind yourself to do it enough times, then it becomes like a habit where you realize that you're doing the thing that you said you don't want to do anymore.
True. And honestly, as Nachi said, like, I feel like the key to everything is like the people that you have around you. You know, like the friends and the family and shit. Like the people that really hold you down. Mm. You know, like. As corny as it sounds, life is nothing without like the connection that you make. So it's important to, like, you know, keep your people around you and shit. Mm-hmm. Appreciate them and et cetera, et cetera. I feel super corny saying this, but yeah. All of that.
Yeah. All of that stuff. Appreciate the people who appreciate you.
This feels like it has been a mellow conversation. Like, it's been
It's
been mellow. It's nice though.
Yeah, it has. I thought it would be, you know, as Nachi said, one going after the other, you know, others attacking.
Yeah, it's not every day, friend. It's not every day raise your voice at your friend.
Wait, have I? No, I don't think I. Maybe I don't care enough to remember. That's scary.
That in and of itself is telling.
Yeah.
Enough to remember. If I could have.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can literally live. I'll be living. Oh, we're friends. Oh, how is she doing? Then I'll call her.
Well, someone's trying to say something to us in this podcast, guys.
Okay, I'm trying. You know, thinking and fantasizing about having like a certain friend group. There's always like that image in your head where you're like all chilling and you're all successful and you're all looking good. You know what I mean? Like, you have friend expectations too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you guys don't meet my expectations. I just feel like a lot of the time as people, we don't actually appreciate what we have in front of us, because we live in a certain way, and we expect that when we do get friends, they'll come in the way that you've imagined them to be, and then you ignore like the signs when your friends are actually around and you're talking to them.
But yeah, honestly, well, wait, on that point about friends in certain circles, honestly, I think one of the greatest things that I've like appreciated about living in like a couple in a few different countries, and experiencing a few different like it's literally like Zambia 2.0 and the UK, that's all. But I think like the thing that I've appreciated the most about it is understanding that like having friends like one in different like class groups, in different racial groups, in different like in different everything, you know what I mean? Just in different like walks of life. Just like it changes the way you think about things, you know, it changes just the way you think about life, the way you interact with other people, you know, the way you treat other people. Mm. There was a point in my life where I'd walk into a restaurant and if like a waiter talked to me shittily, I'd be like straight up angry. And now because I've been a waiter, you know, I take a moment and I'm like, okay, let me relax. Like, I understand what you're going through, you know, and I'm willing to like give you the benefit of the doubt before I start getting mad, you know.
Actually, when I meet someone off again, when I was thinking about this toxic traits podcast thing, and I was thinking who would say is the most toxic person in the group. I feel like high school people would say you're the most toxic one because you used to check everyone, like you would put everyone in their place. And people were scared of you, like, whoa.
I feel like that was only like from 1-2. After that, I chilled the fuck out. I would say I chilled the fuck out in like around from 3. Like, to be honest, I remember, I feel like I stopped yelling. I stopped being loud. Like, I mean, loud like that.
Yeah.
From 3.
I remember this.
Nobody else is mad at people.
That's wild. I didn't really. Yeah, I feel like I've come a long way. Honestly, when I left high school, I just chilled the fuck out.
Yeah, I wanted to say on the whole like friendship thing, I feel like having you guys as friends in high school sort of like built up this whole like expectation of what friends are supposed to be like. You know what I mean? So even when I moved for uni, it was difficult for me to accept friendships that weren't presenting the way that you guys presented to me. Do you understand? And then after a while in uni, I had like all these friends and they were really, really great friendships. Like, you know, some of the closest friendships I've ever had in my life. And then I moved back here and it's been difficult because now I'm like, nobody can live up to those standards. You know what I mean? Like everybody that comes and they're like different and, you know, they are their own person. They are their own people. They have their own like things that they think are important. And to me, they just seem like not my people. Like all the time, I'm like, I don't click with these people. I don't click with these people. They're not my type of person. And people keep asking me, why don't you like hang out with your classmates? Why don't you go out with them? And I'm always like, they're not my type of people. You know what I mean? And that's such a negative thing because I'm not even giving it a chance because in my head, I have like this whole idea and caricature of what friends are supposed to be. And anybody that's not that doesn't make the cut, basically. So anyway, long story short, I went out with some of my classmates last week, like right after we finished. Yeah, so they were surprisingly cool, like surprising. I was shocked. I literally enjoyed their company so much. I was surprised. Like I felt like the way I used to feel back in uni, the way I feel with you guys, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my point was, but yeah.
I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys in person though.
Right? Like I can't wait, you guys. I really can't wait because I feel like when we caught up in December, it was different because we hadn't been speaking that much, like as a group, you know, like as the apples, we hadn't been speaking that much. So I feel like now the dynamic is definitely changed. It's different. Yeah. And I feel it would be more natural because last time I felt there was a little bit of, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I did. And I think it's because we weren't just the apples, you know? So there was that whole, like, it was a little bit weird for me.
What are you talking about?
The last time that we were together in physically.
As apples?
Yeah, but we weren't just apples. There was other people.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean when it's going to be us, just apples, not apples and other people?
Yes.
Ah, yes. I see. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, because there was a little bit of weirdness because, you know, I don't think a lot of people have even like spoken to me since high school, and I've definitely not spoken to them. I haven't thought about them, so it was weird, like, for me, because now I'm like, you know, why do you look like the person I knew, and you're like a complete stranger? Like, I know that I know you, but like, you're completely, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know.
Can you imagine that was 2 years ago? How time flies.
Right?
Mad.
Fish, guys. Me, I feel like we're ready. Okay. Me, I feel like I'm ready for marriage and like the next stage of my life.
Amen.
When I say marriage, I don't mean like the actual, I mean like that's the next phase of my life, which I feel like marriage will be a part of. Not that
if it doesn't. It's crazy. This morning I woke up thinking, oh my gosh, I really want a child.
Right? Like, I've been thinking about having a child for so long. Wow. Like, every time I see a baby.
But yeah, I'm not ready for that, though. I want one, but I'm not ready.
Brother, I work.
Like, I know you can never be ready, but seriously, I'm not ready in any form. Yeah, nah.
I agree. Like, whenever when during like pediatrics lectures and stuff, I'm like, oh, so cute.
You started 50 already.
Yeah, we started our block lectures and then our rotation will start at the end of January.
It's lit.
Anyways, guys, the podcast will end right here, right now. Yoti, you're the best with your rotations coming soon. Some will pray that your results are good, although they will be. I prayed for you as well.
Oh, so, thank you.
It's gonna be great. All the best
with your work